If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. Getting closer to football season finally getting underway for the Saints and for LSU Tigers. Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go247 and CBS Sports, joining us now talking a little Bayou Bengals. Zach, considering all the craziness that's been going on in the news we just got from the SEC, how's everything else been going for you, man?
Yeah, man. I was talking to Charlie before I got on here, and we were just laughing about just the craziness that is college athletics right now. But first of all, I got to say, appreciate you guys for having me on. As always, love talking ball with you guys. And it's a chaotic time, no doubt. Absolutely.
We know this, you know, the Tigers gearing up for this matchup against Clemson. Overall, what's your been impressions of the team so far through fall camp? I know the media hasn't been able to witness too much, but at least from what you saw, the highs and lows, I guess, maybe from this Tiger team so far.
Yeah, it's a great question. And obviously, fall camp's in the rearview mirror, and it was a really strong stretch for this program. You get Sam Leavitt back, fully ready to roll, looks the part, mobile, which is something that a lot of people wanted to see, him utilizing his legs. And then, of course, capitalizing with the weapons that he has in the receiving game. It was a really strong stretch for this offense. I was really impressed with what they kind of put together there. But on the other side of the ball, you could argue that the defense was a lot better. You know, there are going to be some questions along the interior defensive line when you have so many youngsters in Deuce Gerald, Lamar Brown, and, of course, Richard Anderson, three absolute tanks in the trenches. I mean, they're awesome. But again, questions when it comes to experience, if they hit that freshman wall, et cetera. But aside from that, your linebacker core looks fantastic. Prince Wiumemielin looks like a beast in the trenches along the edge. And then your secondary is going to be your big bright spot, headlined by DJ Pickett and Ty Benefield. So I'd argue that the defense might have had an even better performance during fall camp. But nonetheless, a really productive stretch for LSU. And now they start Clemson preparation with kickoff only 11 days away.
Zach, I got to go back. I know I didn't get to think. Well, first of all, thank you for coming on with us. But where do we go from here with college athletics in general? Not even just, I mean, we have to consider what the SEC and the Big Ten put out. But where do we go from here?
It's the multi-million dollar question, right? You know, you have me sitting here and pausing, trying to think about the best direction to go in here. And it's rough, Deuce. I mean, you're in a situation right now where you have the SEC coming out with their ruling today, putting a ban to professional athletes that didn't withdraw from the NFL, NBA, and WNBA appropriately. So from there, we see what direction this goes in. It's going to go to court. You know LSU. You know a lot of these players are going to go to court and try to fight this once again. It's going to be nonstop here. But the time is kind of the essence here. The clock is ticking for these guys to get eligible and ready to roll. But the SEC is putting their foot down. That statement that they put out, let's say 15 to 20 minutes ago, is strong on where they stand. So I'm really intrigued to see which direction this goes and how LSU fights back, because they are certainly going to do so. The clock is ticking until they do that, of course. But it's a very unique situation that we're in right now. Just a completely unprecedented situation when it comes to college football and basketball, for that matter.
Yeah, and so We kind of take that out of the equation. So at some point, that will get worked out. But going forward, where does college athletics kind of land? Because what we have done over the last 2 years, 3 years with NIL, even with the transfer portal, that's not working. And I know, you know, it's LSU and college football that we're talking about. But if you're paying attention around just college athletics, you have universities that they cannot sustain or they can't be in the game, you know, pretty much maybe a year or two, maybe 2 years down the line. They can't be in the game as far as athletics is concerned, as far as, you know, NIL. So I just don't know if we can come up with an answer. And even from a Congress standpoint, even if that is the – if they can, you know, give you a true solution.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And I completely, you know, agree with that. And I would echo the same sentiment in my response. But I'd ask you, you know, do you think – and this is me genuinely asking because I'm unsure and you know more about this than me. But do you think a collective bargaining agreement would be something that would not put a stop to this, but, you know, put more parameters surrounding, you know, college athletics and making it, you know, a little bit more regulated? Do you think a collective bargaining agreement would be, you know, kind of the best situation for the NCAA to really go about and, you know, have each conference have their own set of rules and regulations?
Well, if you go on collective bargain, but now some individuals are employees. So I can't collectively have you to agree to something if I'm not willing to take you on as an employee. And I don't think the universities want to do that.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Looking at go back to some football stuff, the SEC opener for the Tigers, obviously everyone's talking about September 19th, taking on Ole Miss, circled as a massive early season statement game. How do you feel like Lane Kiffin's approaching the whole narrative around this matchup? And what about the emotional competitive temperature around it inside the LSU program going into it?
Yeah, I think when you talk about this matchup from the top down, it's headlines galore, right? It is not stopping. I mean, the buzz just continues to grow day by day, hour by hour. You know, you see the buzz with Xavien Harris yesterday. On Sunday, it was Daquan Wright. Obviously, we'll see what happens from an eligibility standpoint there. But when you look at it now from the top down, the buzz is incredible. And Lane Kiffin's mindset continues to be calm, you know, calm-minded. I think during his press conference this week, he brought up a really good point just saying how, you know, all the trials and tribulations, all the hurdles that he's had to jump, all the firings, all the other headlines, this, that, and the other, it's helped mold him into a coach that he's wanting to become. And that's a guy that's fiery, passionate, and is going to do all he can to win for the university that he's employed at. And so he continues to work to do that and make sure that this team is over the hump and ready to roll. But he has the top-end talent like no other. He has assembled a roster that has, you know, a competitive nature ready to roll. I cannot wait to see the product that they put on the field come week one and then fast forward that to week three in an environment that is going to be incredible at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, man. It is going to be absolutely electric. We know College Game Day has obviously booked their ticket there. It's going to be incredible, and I think Lane Kiffin and this staff are handling it really, really well.
Zach, kind of building on that point by Steve, I wanted to ask you, because hearing Lane talk about it, you know, on Monday, and then also we spoke with Bobby about it yesterday as well, like, you can realistically see this LSU offense in year one under Coach Kiffin, Coach Weiss, really hitting their stride kind of later in the season and maybe even reaching their peak in like a November. But the issue with that is that you still need to be able to start pretty fast given the opponents that you have in September, where you start the season off at home against Clemson. And then, you know, week three, we talked about the Ole Miss game on the road. And then you come back home and you host Texas A&M. It's a really, really tough opening four game slate that you're looking at here for September. So, yes, whereas LSU's offense may be better down the line later on in the season, you still need them to come out at least decently hot with those first four games.
Yeah, Charlie, we're on the exact same wavelength with that. I mean, I said that right when Lane Kiffin, you know, stepped away from the podium yesterday, just talking about, look, this team is not going to peak early. When you have so many newcomers, it's going to take time for it to all come together. But you do have to click early. It does have to come together really early. You know, Clemson, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, those three out of your first four opponents, I mean, you're going to learn a lot about this team in September, man. This is where, not necessarily make or break, I don't want to go that far ahead, but, you know, that's a really brutal stretch to the year where Sam Levitt has to be clicking. The embarrassment of riches that they've assembled him with have to be ready to roll. Your defense, you know, has to be clicking as well. So absolutely, Charlie, I'm right there with you. I think that you're going to learn everything you need to know about this team in September. They have to perform well especially with so many high-stakes matchups.
And, Zach, a question that I think has kind of cropped up recently here is that, and we've talked about this throughout the whole offseason, when LSU completely rebuilt that wide receiver room, it's a bunch of new faces that have come in, and they keep talking about the depth. You hear it from Coach Kiffin, Coach Weiss, that there's a lot of really good contributing players, but the question has cropped up, and Lane didn't have an answer for it on Monday. You know, when push comes to shove and you need a third and six, like a big completion, who is going to be the go-to guy in that wide receiver room for, you know, Sam Leavitt? I just want to get your projection for that because, I mean, the coaching staff doesn't know, so this is all looking ahead. But just a matter of, yes, it's good to have a lot of really good wide receivers, but does LSU have that go-to guy in this receiver room?
Yeah, I think that's something that is going to be really interesting to find out early. Again, you got to figure that out extremely early in the season. Your top four of Jackson Harris from Hawaii, super explosive deep threat. Winnie Watkins, in my opinion, one of the most versatile players in the SEC, can do a lot with the ball in his hands. And then Eugene Wilson from Florida and Jace Brown from Kansas State. Those are your four go-to guys in this offense, and they are going to make splashes. But you're not going to have that top-end guy like a Malik Nabers, a Brian Thomas, you know, Jamar Chase. I don't foresee them having that, let's say, first-round guy emerge. But you got to have players contribute in the biggest way. I think Lane Kiffin's going to make a point to get layups to the likes of Winnie Watkins and Eugene Wilson, kind of give it to them in the backfield, let them turn it upfield. I think you're going to see a lot of those layups early in the year to get Sam Leavitt ready to roll, get his receivers red-hot early. But when it comes to that go-to guy, that's going to be really fascinating to watch emerge because, you know, there just isn't that so far. And you're right, Lane Kiffin has certainly alluded to that during fall camp.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach, we know this LSU's, you know, roster, one of the nation's most expensive entering this season. And fair or not, there's the college football playoff or bust, you know, narrative going around. But how realistic is it for Lane Kiffin and this squad to accomplish that, looking at their schedule and the competition around the SEC?
Yeah, for me, you know, Steve, I sit back and I always try not to be a prisoner of the moment and, you know, look at the financial commitment that they put in and this, that, and the other. When push comes to shove, you have to look at those numbers that they invested in this roster. I mean, it is ridiculous. It is one of the most expensive rosters in America. A really strong support staff behind Lane Kiffin. The financial commitment is second to none. So for me, I think, you know, you have to make the CFP this year. I'm not sure if it's going to be something where, you know, you have to make this massive, miraculous run and it's a national championship or bust type of season. But I certainly do believe that you have to set the tone in year one for Lane Kiffin. The donor base, the university, there's a strong financial commitment here for the LSU Tigers in this football program. And I'm definitely a believer that they have to make the CFP this year to keep, you know, Baton Rouge at bay. And I think they have the roster to do it. This isn't smoke. You know, this is something where you've assembled such a big group of high-end talent, top-end talent, to where this is possible. This isn't a far-fetched thing. And with Lane Kiffin at the helm, Charlie Weiss and Blake Baker, that's a really strong three-headed monster to lead your program into battle. I firmly believe that they can make the CFP with this coaching staff and, of course, with the talent behind them as well.
Zach, you had mentioned earlier on when we were talking about the offense may not peak early. It's going to take some time to get to that point. They have to be clicking early because of the level of competition. But at the same time, the defense, it feels like it's ready to go. I remember hearing from Blake Baker a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about the linebacking core specifically and being able to have, you know, guys like T.J. Dottery and Whit Weeks, these senior veteran guys in the middle of that defense to really lead that group, but also a guy like Devon Keyes. It feels like the linebacking core could be one of the strongest units across the entire SEC, in all honesty, Zach, between those three guys that Blake Baker has got plenty of confidence in.
I'd agree with you, Charlie. I think that when you look at what Weeks is about to put together, barring, you know, his health, he has to stay healthy. But he physically looks the part. Now, he's put on a couple pounds to his frame. He looks extremely explosive during the, you know, short media viewings that we received. You know, it's a small sample size, of course. But from other people that I've spoken with, it's a lot of high praise for what Whit Weeks will provide this team. Pair that with T.J. Dottery, who led the SEC in tackles last year. And just a true sideline-to-sideline guy who makes it happen. He's a ball hawk. And everybody that you talk to says that he finishes plays extremely well. So that 1-2 punch is going to be fascinating at the second level. And then you pair, you know, Devon Keyes with them. And a guy that I'm extremely high on, Charles Ross. This is a speedster from Texas who is just a bolt of lightning. I think the future for him is extremely bright. But when talking about the three-headed monster that you have there with Whit Weeks, T.J. Dottery, and Devon Keyes, I think that those three guys are going to be three of the best linebackers in America, not just the SEC. I'm really excited to see what they can put on the field. I'm not trying to be a sunshine pumper here, but I do believe that those three guys are going to be really, really talented this upcoming season.
And this is, I guess, a little bit more sunshine pumping, but I think it's a really interesting point as far as Prince Wilhelmina-Mielen, who you also brought up as potentially being a star player for this defense. I think that's the expectation. That's why they brought him from Ole Miss. You know, he'd come off an all-SEC performance last season. You know, this guy's the limit for this guy on the LSU defense. But one thing that Lane did bring up when talking about Prince Will is being able to get the quarterback to the ground. I mean, we've seen that with LSU in the past couple of years, Blake Baker's defense specifically, like Jalen Milroe nightmares and Marcel Reed nightmares and Diego Pavia, where, you know, the defensive line is solid, but these mobile quarterbacks that just escape and extend plays have just been a nightmare for Blake Baker's defense. So having a guy that can not just get the pressure, but also get the quarterback to the ground, that can be a really big difference for LSU's defense this year, and having someone like Prince Will to do that.
No doubt. Prince Wilhelmina-Mielen is a game changer and a game wrecker. He's a really strong component to what this defense needs. Obviously, you bring back Blake Baker, who's just extremely talented from a defensive coordinator perspective and just a leader perspective as well. So you give him a weapon like Wilhelmina-Mielen, who is coming off of a season with 9 sacks, you know, a ton of tackles for loss, can get the quarterback to the ground. It's a recipe for success. And you talk about Wilhelmina-Mielen. This is a guy who's had, from people that I've spoken to, the strongest offseason of his career. He's added over 10 pounds to his frame. He's north of 255 pounds right now. He looks like a man amongst boys out there during the practice field. He came in for interviews earlier during camp and looked the part as well. So I think he's due for a big-time season here. The defensive end that's going to be on the opposite side of him remains to be seen. Will it be Jordan Ross, Dylan Carpenter, or Lamar Brown, your true freshman? I'm excited to see how that works out there. You also just signed, obviously, junior Tui Halamaka from Notre Dame as a component as well. When will he be ready to go? But your edge rushers are ready to roll. You got bodies galore to work with. Wilhelmina-Mielen is going to be the engine that allows them to go. And I can't wait to see how that also unfolds when you talk about those big-time edge rushers getting the quarterback to the ground.
Zach, it's always great talking to you, man. Thanks so much for joining us today. And stay sane out there in this wild world of college football.
Yeah, man, you're not lying. I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Zach.
Zach Nagy, senior writer for Go247 Sports and CBS Sports, joining us there, breaking down the Bayou Bengals, a little talking Tigers as we get ready for that season opener coming up, not this Saturday, but the next one against Clemson in Death Valley, the real Death Valley. Going to be a fun one to watch. Like you mentioned, College Game Day is going to be there. LSU trying to set the tone early on this season.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with 2 Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.